What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower. Now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Welcome to Good Calls with Dean Blandino, a production of iHeartRadio. Hey, welcome to another episode of Good Calls. I'm Dean Blandino. We are back, and we are back in person. Social distanced, of course. Travis is wearing his mask. Sounds a little better, Joe, the audio guy. Is this a harbinger? You guys know what word I'm talking about?
I know the word. I don't know.
Is this a harbinger of things to come? That this type of crisp, clean audio?
It sounds quite a bit better than the Zoom.
It does sound amazing.
You guys look great, both rocking beards.
Yes.
I even combed my hair for the occasion. And brought in fresh flowers.
I see that you got some nice Gerber daisies here.
And we've got week one of NFL football to talk about. And what a week it was, wrapping up with two games Monday night and my Titans winning a close one. We'll talk about that a little later. What did you guys, from a fan's perspective, what were your takeaways from week one NFL? Did it feel different than a regular week one?
It did, because it kind of just snuck up on us without the preseason, without having a couple weeks of college football, or at least 2 weeks in front of the first NFL game. That kind of snuck up on us. But as far as football went, it was amazing to see football being played on Sundays again. I loved it. I thought Tom Brady was less than...
taking a shot at Brady already?
I know. I wanted to see that TB12, game. 12? I wanted to see him play so much better.
Travis is going in on Brady.
I just wanted to see more out of him.
3 minutes in?
I think Bruce Arians wanted to see more, too.
Nice. Okay.
Called him out in the postgame and on Monday.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, saying he needs to play better. He was surprised he didn't play better, he said.
Well, BA is going to call you out. That's nothing new. Nobody's immune.
I actually was pleasantly surprised at the production. It wasn't as politically driven as I thought it was going to be. It seemed pretty normal, with the exception of some of the masks. I thought it was done pretty well.
Yeah, I think for me, the takeaway, and we'll get into the officiating part of it, it wasn't a big impact. Like the artificial noise and the background noise, it wasn't like, oh no, this feels so much different without the fans, without all the bells and whistles.
Yeah. To me, it didn't feel any different either. It's like we pay a little closer attention than if you're at home watching a baseball game, like we had been doing for the last few months, and you're kind of always on your phone or looking at your computer or doing something while the game's on. And if you're not paying attention to it, it just seems like a normal game with like the artificial fan noise.
I think the question is, if you were asleep, you were in a coma since 2019 and you woke up and it was football Sunday, would you have noticed a huge difference?
I think I think some of the, when you looked and it was an empty stadium, I think that like, definitely wow. would
nobody jump out.
I was like, ooh, wow. But
I feel like they did a pretty good job of not really showing the stands.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's hard if you're showing a certain angle, if you're showing a certain replay, you're going to get that background with with the empty stadium. But it's not like they were highlighting, obviously, empty stadiums. And that was a directive. I know from a Fox Sports perspective, we weren't going to come out and say, keep beating you over the head. Well, there's no fans. So it's about football. And I think from a social justice standpoint, honestly, I think, look, after the anthems, then it was pretty much like it was interspersed and there were things that were obviously talked about.
Saw commercials about
commercials and things, but it wasn't, you know, there's a whole bunch of people out there to say, oh, I'm not watching the NFL, blah, 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 blah. Like, then don't watch the NFL, right? And, you know, what was the overnight, Travis, for Saints Bucks?
It was 16.2.
Which was the highest
in 4 years for week one.
Yeah.
And you made a comment about that over text that
week one, we always knew week one was going to be huge, capital U. And because it's week one after a pandemic when we didn't think we were going to have football for a minute there. What's the true test is going to be, because remember 2016, you had Colin Kaepernick, the whole kneeling thing, you had the election and ratings were down, right? This year we have certainly the Kaepernick thing is still part of the conversation, social justice, the election. Are people going to, you know, are people going to turn away from the NFL in October, November? Remains to be seen. There certainly are people that are very vocal, like we talked about. There's this vocal minority that says, I don't go to watch football for political statements, things like that. But I think the majority of NFL fans are going to watch. And but it will be, I'm very intrigued about what the ratings are going to be in October, November, for sure. From an officiating standpoint, and we'll get into the calls of the week, but here's basically what happened in week one. When you look at the foul numbers, and everybody says, okay, let him play. Great. Not a lot of fouls. Let him play. You know, the game flows better. And I think there's something to be said for that. But when you look at week one, and we average 12 and a half penalties per game in week one. Compare that to 19.3 per game in 2019. And Travis is really just distracting me tremendously right now.
It's done.
We're back in person. Now I got to see everything he does. He's closing windows.
Not sweating yet.
So I'm going to start over. But okay, penalties down 12 and a half per game in week one compared to 19.3. Last year, 19.3 is a high number.
Remember, yeah, last year offensive holding
was crazy. So, but when you look at the average has been right around 16 per game. And when you're talking about 12 and a half, that is a significant drop. It's only 1 week. It's a small sample size. But line of scrimmage infractions, of those 12 and a half fouls per game, 32% were line of scrimmage infractions, which is your false start, your offsides, the formation stuff that you can't ignore. 32% is where the number normally is, you know, somewhere between 30-32% historically. So if that number is the same, that means on the major fouls like holding, pass interference, unnecessary roughness, those fouls were not called nowhere near the same rate. And I think that's twofold. I think the game officials were given the directive, clear and obvious. Don't call a lot of fouls. We didn't have preseason. But what concerns me the most is offensive holding. When you look at 2019, week one, we had 82 offensive holds. In 2018, 64. In 2017, 58. In 2016, 55. How many holding calls do you think we had in week one, 2020? After I just rattled off those numbers.
40.
52.
About 18.
Wow.
18, 12 on offensive linemen. So when you're talking about, you think offensive linemen got that better in
absolutely
a Zoom
not
offseason?
Well, they had all that time.
Yeah. In a Zoom offseason, they got better at hand placement and feet and everything else. So what concerns me about that, and it is 1 week, but when you start talking about 18 offensive holds, 12 on offensive linemen, 16 on scrimmage plays, what that means is every team in the league is now going to have meetings with their offensive line, and they're going to say, we're going to hold the shit out of the defense. And that will, the close line play will become an absolute war. That will break down. Defenders will get frustrated. Then you get the risk of altercations, other things. So that is a number to just watch out for. I remember in the AAF, in the Alliance of American Football, we wanted to promote offense. So we said we weren't going to call holding unless it was obvious, the takedowns, the bear hugs. By week three, we said, no, we got to call. This is getting ridiculous. Defenders are getting tackled. We have to call these holds because it leads to other things. And that's my biggest takeaway from week one in terms of the officiating is you can't, when historic numbers are fouls per game 16 and you drop to 12 and a half, if we stay at 12 and a half, I guarantee teams around the league are going to start to send in questions about no calls. And I lived this in 2013 when I took over in officiating, the fouls were down the last couple of years and the committee got together and said, hey, this game is getting out of control. We need to rein this back in. So I would be mindful of that. Other numbers, points per game, up 49. That's a very healthy number. The plays per game, really good. 158 plays per game. That's great. Margin of victory was less than 10. So that's the spread, 9.5. Great. Passing yards per game was down compared to last year. 479 passing yards per game. Rushing yards way up, 238 per game compared to 216. Replay, remember we took away pass interference, so replay was down 20 reviews compared to 27 last year. And overall game time was right around 304.45, which is down from last year. And the NFL likes that number. They want the game to be a little bit shorter. So that's from a general perspective. From a specific call perspective, the call of the week was Travis's Cowboys, right? And this was the Sunday night game. You guys texted me immediately. This is Michael Gallup, 3rd and 10. Cowboys down by 3. Dak throws a deep pass that was caught by Gallup, would have put the Cowboys in field goal range, potential opportunity to take the lead. And we had two flags on the play from the deep wing official and the back judge, offensive pass interference, push off. What did you guys think of the call?
As soon as I saw it, I thought it was pass interference. By rule, like he extended the arm and gained a step on Ramsey. And so I got texts instantly from like five different people that, you know, whether it's a Cowboys fan, friends, or people who hate the Cowboys, which they're usually the ones that chime in more. But they were all saying, oh, the Cowboys got hosed. I was like, well, actually, I thought the call was the right call. I don't like it because I'm a Cowboys fan, but I thought it was the right call.
I thought it was the right call, too. And I'm a Rams fan, so I liked it.
You liked it double like. You liked your own text. You liked your own like which is illegal. Look, I get it. It's obviously a big call. It's a critical juncture of the game. It's the Cowboys on Sunday night, right? So it's going to have that added element. Cowboy fans have been known. They are very gracious in defeat, and they definitely do not bring up shit from the past ever.
What I didn't like about it is Collinsworth and Al Michaels are usually against the Cowboys always when they're calling things. But they're like, oh, that was a bad call. That shouldn't have been. But I think if it wouldn't have gotten called, they would have been even worse saying, oh, I can't believe they missed that call. I think it would have been worse.
Yeah,
and I think people just react to what they say on the air.
There's no question if Collinsworth and Michaels and even Terry McCauley, who's the rules analyst, if they had come out and said they agreed with the call, I think that's going to influence people without question. That's the power that the broadcasters have. And we understand that. But if we look at it, let's break it down. Gallup and Ramsey are running. They're running stride for stride. And people are saying, well, Ramsey hooked Gallup's arm, right? And so Gallup couldn't get his arm free. If you watch the play, Gallup was perfectly fine where his hand was. Gallup was always, the receivers taught at that last, if you can create a little bit of space, you want to do it legally. But if you can create a little bit of space, there's nothing wrong with that hand fighting. Ramsey has his arm inside of Gallup's arm, but Gallup, it's not like Gallup is trying to pull his arm free. He's perfectly content with his arm and hand there. And then at the last second, you can see it's interesting because it's not with the palm of the hand. It's almost the back of the hand that he pushes into Ramsey's body, and he clearly creates space. Ramsey embellishes without question, but he definitely feels the contact. It takes a step away from him. It creates separation. And, and I thought it was a foul. It wasn't much different. You remember the Super Bowl, Kittle got called for near the end of the first half for an offensive pass interference, and the Niners would have put the Niners in field goal range. That was somewhat similar. And again, pool report, Tony Carreni, the referee, did talk to Ed Werder after the game. What was his comment? What was his statement?
He said, "I can tell you it was clear and obvious on the field. Of a hand into the opposing player, a full arm extension that created separation. In all situations, that would be called. We're not going to allow that at any time of the game."
So, and that now Tony Carreni's the referee. It's not his call. He's getting information from the covering officials, which would have been the side judge, field judge, or the back and the back judge. And so they felt it was clear and obvious. Remember that language, clear and obvious, because that's what the officials are being taught right now to call, clear and obvious foul. So if they don't feel it's clear and obvious, they're not going to call it. They obviously felt it raised to that level. And obviously all the fallout and everybody's up in arms about, because again, just like, and I hate to bring it up, but just like the Dez play, because we reversed the Dez play, the Cowboys didn't win the Super Bowl. It's that simple.
So you think this is going to be a Super Bowl?
It's that simple. So if the Cowboys, the playoffs by a game, this call will be referenced.
Do you think, because Ramsey is now the highest paid cornerback in the league, do you think he gets any preferential treatment whatsoever?
Absolutely not. The officials have
the officials know that he's not. Come on.
In that moment, the officials running full speed, trying to get in position, watching. Is it pass interference? Is it on the offense? Is it on the defense? Is it a catch? The last thing they're thinking about is Ramsey's $100 million deal.
No, I understand that. But when you think about that, okay, if he's supposed to be allegedly the best cornerback in the league, if he's making the most money, so do you think the best cornerback in the league gets a little bit more better treatment than the average cornerback?
No, it's like, that's the whole argument about Tom Brady gets the calls and the rookie, you know, Josh Allen isn't going to get the call. That's not the case. The officials are evaluated. There is no profession on the planet that is scrutinized more than professional officials. I don't think there is one from an internal perspective, and obviously from external, from media, from coaches, players, fans. It is. An unbelievable evaluation process that they go through. And for them to think that they can get away with giving Jalen Ramsey the benefit of the doubt when they're going to get graded, and that grade is going to impact their postseason assignment and whether they get kept on at the league, no way.
I think the only job that's hated more for doing your job is the parking meter who writes you parking tickets, because refs do their job. They make the calls. People hate them when they go against their team.
The
parking meter people are the only people.
They shouldn't write a ticket. Like, just
stop. Especially when you're like, stop,
you
know, I'm right 80, here.
80,000 people watching you. Like, you could just skip the car. Like, skip the Blue Ranger.
They've got to skip the red Tesla.
Can you just move on? Skip the...
You're not supposed to be giving electric vehicles tickets anyway. We're saving the planet one car at a time.
Yeah, and...
It's good. Back in person, we're talking about the Tesla again.
Tesla's back.
Then you compare it to A.J. Green, right? A.J. Green had another big OPI call at the end of that game, and that took back what most likely would have been the game-winning touchdown, the Chargers and Bengals. Game went down to the wire. Joe Burrow, his first real two-minute exposure in the NFL, and drives him down. Apparent touchdown, called back on an offensive pass interference. And I think this one was more obvious, but I think from a setup, it was different, where Gallup and Ramsey are both running downfield in the same direction. This one, Green, the defender is facing him. Green is facing, trying to turn back for the ball, and he clearly pushes off, creates space, and comes back and makes the catch, and that was called back. And I thought that was a good call too. And these are offensive pass interferences. Is an interesting call because it may not look like a lot, but it has a significant impact. When you're running full speed, it doesn't take much to kind of knock you off balance or to create that little space, that little separation when you're talking about the best athletes in the world. And so just that one half step it took away from Jalen Ramsey is going to make a whole lot of difference. But look, the Cowboys were the benefit of up until that OPI, the Cowboys were the benefit of the biggest call or non-call in the game up until that point with Aldon Smith, who had a great game, great story, comeback, you know, after being out of the league, trained with our colleague and buddy Jay Glazer at Unbreakable Gym. You're welcome, Jay. You know, hit to the head of Goff on an interception that led to 3-point a field goal for the Cowboys that was missed. And I thought that was one that, you know, would have been the story of the game had the Cowboys come back to win. That certainly was a big deal. The other play that got people riled up is the Jamie Collins ejection. And then this was
just stupid. It was just dumb.
Detroit had a rough. My people. They're my people.
They are.
Detroit is my people. And
did they call you about this one? Did they want to get you on the show?
Yeah, the Lions podcast guys did contact me. And I want to reach out to my people, my Verners people in Detroit, Motown. They had a rough day. When Mitchell Trubisky is basically Brett Favre in the fourth quarter. You have a big lead. You're going in for the victory. And then Trubisky turns into, you know, Bart Starr in the fourth quarter. And then you get the Jamie Collins ejection earlier where it's obvious that Collins is not contacting the official in a malicious way. But he was trying to show that it was the running back. Was it Andrews? Was lowering his head. And, you know, dropping his helmet, and he was trying to show that to the referee, and he ended up making contact with the referee. It just didn't look great. Like, it looked like if you were trying to draw an offensive foul in basketball and trying to flop a little bit, it looked a little like that. But the bottom line is, and the players know this, you can't contact the game official. And I don't think the referee in that situation had any option other than to eject him as bad as it may have looked. I think Jamie Collins just has to be a little bit smarter, and we're in 2020, so social distancing should be first and foremost. Don't drop your head that close to the referee where you could potentially make contact. So yeah. I was okay with the ejection, although social media was not happy.
It looked like he caught the guy, like the referee off guard because he was kind of looking off to his left and then he put his head down. I don't think he would have expected that a player is going to be coming at him with his head. So then he kind of, at the last second, sees it out of the corner of his eye and kind of flinches back a little bit. So it looks a little bit worse than it probably was had he been engaging and actually listening to what Jamie Collins was telling him. Not that it would have made a difference. Yeah. He probably would have been able to move himself. And maybe there's no contact
I think it did catch him by surprise because you could just see the way he reacted.
Right.
Because he didn't, I think had he been, you know, cognizant of what was coming, I think it would have been a much different result. But it was just a Lions, man.
It was. How do you blow that lead?
Oh God. They've made a habit of it.
Well, how about the guy dropping the pass in the end zone?
Oh.
For the game winner.
Oh.
There are a lot of Lions have been doing this since I don't even remember when they weren't doing this.
Since the Calvin Johnson call, right? Like ever since then, it's like I kind of been watching them a little closer and they just seem to find ways to lose games in the worst way.
The Lions joke, this guy, being around officials, especially when I first started and I was around old officials and they would tell these corny jokes. And the Lions joke was that, you know, they had this season ticket the year they went 0-16. And it was like week 12 and the season ticket holder was like you know, I'm not going to the game. So he just left the two tickets on the windshield of his car with a note, hey, anybody wants to go to the game? And when he came back, there were six tickets. On the,
and his windows were backed in.
On the thing. So thank you, But on that note, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little college football. We'll talk Survivor Pool and a little baseball playoff announcement next on Good Calls.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
All right, we're back on Good Calls and Survivor Pool, Living on the Edge 2020. We have two Survivor Pools. We have a Survivor Pool in the studio with all of us, and we have monitors that would come in normally, but obviously with health and safety protocols, we need to restrict people in the room. So shout out to all of our monitors. I know you're all listening, especially you, Nelson. Nelson never sells. Good luck, Nelson. How did your pick do this week, Nelson? Indianapolis, great pick. So anyway, speaking of Indianapolis, there's two pools, Survivor Pools. There's the studio pool, and then Joe has a separate pool. But they're both managed on the same website. So I had to put in my pick for the studio pool.
He's really selling this.
And
right.
I logged in to the website to put in my pick for the studio pool. And I put in the Indianapolis Colts. I felt like the Jaguars, everybody, you know, the kind of the fire sale, the Colts, you know, with Philip Rivers, blah, blah, blah. That was going to be the pick, right? So what happens? The Colts lose. I think I'm out of the studio pool.
But, we all think that.
Alas, I put the pick in for the other pool, Joe's other pool. So I lived to make another pick in the studio pool, and I picked the Titans on Monday night, who Stephen Guskowski wanted to single-footedly keep me out of the pool after week one. But thankfully, he made that kick at the end. So I live another day in the pool.
Now, what was the intent, though, Trav? Like that. What do you think?
You can't officiate intent.
Yeah, you can't.
You can't officiate intent. My intent was to pick the Colts in the studio pool, but I picked the Colts in the other pool. So I'm out of the other pool, but I'm still in the studio
pool. I love it because the other pool is five times the price of the studio pool, but you're so excited that you're still in our pool at the studio.
Because bragging rights with the guys.
Yeah, exactly.
And backstory, there's been a little bit of controversy with the pool
because once I lose, I basically try to buy other people's picks. And Nelson, who I referenced earlier, is like, oh, you know, he's for some reason he's the moral compass and he can't be bought, to the point where his name is now Nelson Never Sells.
Now he's out, so
good luck, Nelson. But everybody,
I'm waiting for the call.
Everybody has a price.
Okay? Nelson, I've got a price. Call me.
Everybody has a price. So when I do go out, I will buy somebody's pick. So
that's what if you game. Never go out? You could win, man.
If
you
I win, stay then optimistic. Great. That's great. If I win, then that's great. So that's the pool. College football, you know, it was interesting because it was our first week in the studio for college football. But it's just college football just feels weird right now. Like it feels weird because it's just like normally we'd have everybody would be playing. They would have SEC and Big Ten and Pac-12 and ACC and everybody. But now it's like kind of like piecemeal where we had Big 12 playing, some ACC, and a lot of just my favorite conference, which you all know,
Sun Belt,
which we talked about months ago. That this was going to be the Sun Belt coming out party. 2020 was going to be the Sun Belt coming out party. And what happened?
3-0, baby.
3-0 against the Big 12. Concluding with our Coastal Carolina Chanticleers. Okay, what is a Chanticleer?
It's a proud rooster.
It's a fierce rooster.
Fierce and proud rooster,
I think. Fierce rooster, yeah. Travis. A fierce rooster.
I thought it was fierce and proud.
They went into Kansas and in front of that big crowd and they put the smack down.
Which is crazy because there were so many people at the K-State game. There were so many students.
Yeah, which I don't understand.
It seemed like way too many people.
There was also a lot of people. I thought there was a lot of people at the Chiefs game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had 17,000.
And it's so, but Kansas City Chiefs are in Missouri. So and Kansas is in Kansas. So two different states, but K-State is also in Kansas.
Manhattan.
Right? Yeah. And so I don't understand why K-State can have fans and Kansas can't. Like, I don't get that.
What seems like it's
nobody gets anything right now.
Some of the governors say you can do stuff, and then maybe the school can chime in and say we're not going to have people.
I guess
so. There's no rules that are just completely across the board on this. So that's where we stand with
it. Speaking of, you know, it this week I think we could have some clarity on the Big Ten. I mean, the Big Ten met on Sunday. I think they were meeting again during the week. To talk about a return to play, which could take place as early as October. And then I read another article that the Pac-12 is thinking about coming back. So imagine a Pac-12 Big Ten coming back, playing a conference-only schedule, finishing with a championship game, and then having the Pac-12 Big Ten champions play in the Rose Bowl. That would be pretty cool.
So are they not going to be in the playoff then?
They're not eligible? I don't know how that works. Like, I don't know if they would, I would imagine they would have to start soon. I don't think you could start playing in late October and be eligible for the CFP if you're going to play on time. But who knows? I think we're just making shit up right now in 2020.
Everything's day to day.
Everywhere you go.
It's just making stuff up.
You're not allowed to get COVID if you're sitting down. Unless there's seven people with you, then you could get it.
Then you can get it.
If you have six, you're good.
Yeah. Well, you know, I agree. Well, speaking of that, masks. NFL sent out a memo to the coaches after Sunday to all clubs that there will be discipline if you do not wear your masks. Obviously, kind of pointed more at the head coaches because those are the coaches that are going to be on camera more. But it was interesting to see the variation. Who were your favorite masked characters of the weekend? I know, obviously, Andy Reid Thursday night.
Reid is the big
Andy
one
Reid,
for me.
Yeah.
Andy got, and we love Andy. And it was amazing that, you know, he had the shield and it just felt like I was like, the defrost button's not working. Like, you ever know when you're in the car and it's like the defrost button just won't work and you're just stuck?
Just wait till it gets cold and he's wearing that thing.
And so that was hilarious. There were a couple, I think Sunday night, Mike McCarthy wore it the entire game. Like, McCarthy didn't take it off. Sean McVay has been, even on Hard Knocks, Sean is not a big mask guy. Like, he's out there.
It's you know why? It's because he's good looking.
You don't want to be.
I know for personal experience, you don't want to put a mask on when you're a handsome dude. It ruins everything.
It does.
Especially when you're single, right?
It does. You can't. The mask certainly does. It does kind of give you less of a chance to kind of peacock. The Steelers offensive coordinator, who was that? Randy Fitchner.
Yep.
He was amazing Monday night. Like, he had the full, like, he looked like he was like a babushka. He had like my my old Italian, like great aunts and grandmother and every, like when they would wear like,
didn't Cam Newton wear that same thing in a post-game press conference,
but that was like my grandma used to wear, my Nona used to wear the kerchief like around, like completely covered up. He like, all you saw was like the slits of his eyes, which I thought was hilarious. What's interesting about the mask though, is remember now these play callers, they don't have to put the call sheet over their mouth to cover their lips so they're not getting red. My brother always used to get frustrated because he didn't know. And it was what's his face? Ben McAdoo, when he was with the Giants. And he always used to yell, he'd be like, why is McAdoo with his effing kids menu? That's all he's doing. He's not coaching, he's just looking at his kids menu because they're laminated and he has it in front of his face. But now you don't need to do that because you have the mask.
I think it was McAdoo who, out of habit, was covering his face and he had his mask on.
McAdoo's still coaching.
Wait, he's an OC for someone.
Which game were we on?
I'm thinking it was Shermer.
McAdoo is in the league.
I remember one of the games that we were on Sunday in the studio. It was either offensive or defensive coordinator. He had the mask on, but he just had it down on his chin. Well, that's why
I see people like that all the time. Like they're walking out and about and they've got the mask around their neck. Yeah. I'm like, don't even pretend. Don't pretend. Just go. Just be like, I'm not wearing the mask. Don't wear it around your neck. Like it's not, COVID doesn't go through your Adam's apple. Like stop. Like put it on.
McAdoo is the quarterback's coach with the Jaguars, but I was thinking.
Is he really?
Yeah, I was thinking of Pat Shurmur. He had the mask on and he was still covering his face.
Muscle memory. He's just used to it.
It's great.
So baseball made an announcement. Bubble format. Travis, where are we gonna be watching postseason baseball?
Well, AL is gonna be playing in San Diego and LA, which is cool. And then
cool, because we can go.
But at least when my Twins are playing, I'll be closer to them when they're losing to the Yankees. You know, it'll be proximity loss and hurt my.
You know what? Speaking of that, I have a bone to pick with you.
Okay,
I feel like you could have pulled some strings and got us into that Rams game.
Yeah, Joe.
I had a friend post something on Instagram. He was there at the game. I'm like, this guy is like, I don't know. He was like hanging out watching the game.
No, he had to be there in a working capacity. They're not just letting Joe Schmo like hang out.
You're not Joe Schmo.
Yeah, I know. But what am I saying? So it's like 2 hours before kickoff, he's like, hey, why can't we just go over to the new stadium? Because it's a pandemic and they're not going to let us in.
You got to throw around your weight a little bit more.
You get the credential. Like I get all the emails from the teams. The credentials go out. It's like a complete, you only let in so many people. Like,
dude, you don't think they're going to let this guy in?
They'll let him in, but of not course. You and me
I'm
with
his
him.
Bodyguard.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think they're going to buy that.
But continue, Travis. Where else?
So then the NL is going to play in Houston. So your Dodgers could go. Working on getting back to the World Series and win those games in Houston.
Bad luck.
Then the other games for the NL will be in Arlington at the New Globe Life, and that's where the World Series will be. And for the first time since 1944, all the games, the entire World Series will be in one location.
Which is so interesting. And obviously the team with the better record will have the home field, which they'll bat last. But other than that, it's like a neutral site game. Like it's like the Super Bowl, right? You go into a stadium.
Again, no fans though, so.
Yeah. I think baseball, I think, has, after that initial scare when we thought like the world was the sky was falling with the Marlins, I think baseball has pretty much figured it out, knock on wood, with COVID. Football, I haven't heard anything, right? We've played a full week.
Yeah, if we would have heard anything about Kansas City and Houston, nothing there.
And these guys are getting tested every day. So knock on wood, people are doing the right thing.
Do it again.
And we're gonna see another week of football at least, and we'll be in the studio for, we got big noon kickoff Saturday, baby. Houston
and Baylor.
Houston and Baylor. Have you ever been to Waco?
No, I haven't.
I've been to Waco. I was at the game Baylor versus Texas when RG3, Texas A&M, Baylor, Texas A&M, when RG3 threw like 5 touchdowns and it was like his coming out party.
You have the weirdest flexes and you also have the most, like your memory is amazing. I will give you that.
No, I remember because the game was insane and it was like 62-48 and I missed my flight and I had to spend the night at the Houston Airport Marriott.
How was it?
It was fine. Yeah, it was fine. Marriotts are fine. All right, let's go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk about my birthday and how I almost spent my birthday in jail. Next on Good Calls.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
All right, we're back on Good Calls. And it was call it kismet, call it luck, call it whatever you want to call it. But my birthday happened to fall on opening Sunday of the NFL season.
Serendipity.
It was serendipity. It was very serendipitous. And so got a lot of birthday wishes. It's funny because Twitter was a place full of love and wonder on Sunday for a little bit there when people found out it was my birthday because Kevin Burkhardt mentioned it on the air. And people were, there was some love. And then Sunday night, the OPI against Dallas, and then there was a lot of hate. But
how many your effing refs cost us this game?
My refs. They're always my refs. I got blamed. Some guy
you
called
did
me,
hire them.
Some guy, not all, no, not all. Some guy blamed me, called me an all-around douchebag for the Calvin Johnson play in 2010. Well, newsflash, I wasn't with the NFL. I was actually at a bar with Joe's brother during that game. It was my first football season outside the NFL. I left and I was living out here in California, and it was my first experience with breakfast NFL. Like the game starting at 10 a.m.
Isn't it the best?
And we went and had like breakfast, buffet, and we're watching, and Jerry's a Lions fan. Yeah, Jerry's a Lions fan. So we're watching that game in the bar, and everybody's looking at me like, what's the call? What's the call? And I was like, you're not going to like it.
Like you said with the Dez, shit's going to hit the fan.
Shit's going to hit the fan.
Those days are, I mean, that's actually one thing about working in the cube I really do miss is.
Oh, absolutely.
Those bottomless mimosa brunch mornings at the pier.
In 15 years in California, I've never had one of those.
Dude,
because I've always worked in NFL.
But how much fun, even last year, and I think we can, you know, obviously it's the pandemic, so hopefully we'll be able to experience this in future years. But last year when we had a couple of Saturdays off, yes, going down and watching college football.
Yeah, that was fun.
It was so much fun. And then we watched the CFP because we don't have those games, obviously. Right. And we watched the two CFP semifinal games out. And it was a blast.
It was.
We had such a good time.
It was fun. But every call, the whole bar was
I do an impromptu rules review.
He does.
An impromptu rules review in the bar.
It's amazing.
It's hilarious. But my birthday almost started off. Maybe I wouldn't have went to jail, but maybe it would have been interesting. I went to Rite Aid before the studio, and I went to pick up peanut M&Ms for everybody. You're welcome. and I went to pick up magic tape. I grabbed some peanut M&Ms and magic tape, scotch tape. And for some reason, I wasn't even thinking about it, but I was carrying the M&Ms. I grabbed the tape and put the tape in my back pocket. Go to the counter, go to the checkout, give the girl the M&Ms, and she's checking me out. And I'm going, where the hell, where's the scotch tape? Like, where is it? What the fuck? Looking, and I'm like, oh yeah, and this. And I pull it out of my pocket, and I hand, she's like looking at me like, what? Like, what are you doing? So, and Joe just, you know, Joe being the career shoplifter that he is, said that if I walked out, that wouldn't have beeped, right? The scotch tape wouldn't have beeped.
I don't think they have a sensor on the scotch tape.
They don't have a sensor on the scotch tape, so I can... So,
but there could have been surveillance watching you.
Exactly. So that would have been Dean Blandino on, like, from
why
Fox
is this guy stealing
how
scotch
awesome
tape?
How awesome would have been mugshot? Like, you'd have the mugshot would be all over...
Right? The scotch tape mugshot.
We would have scotch taped that mugshot up in the queue. 100%.
We could use the actual... I would have asked, can I keep that evidence for, you know, once we're done with the trial of the century? But so that was how my birthday started.
Actually, Santa Monica problems? Was that what Santa Monica, on there?
Yeah, exactly. But
it actually
started the night before. We were in the studio Saturday night, and I got a really thoughtful and amazing birthday gift from you guys. It was a cameo from my guy, Weston Boucher, who's my man consultant, and who helps me with grooming tips and other things. And I got
we've talked about his oil.
Yeah. I got a cameo from Weston. And then Weston hit me up on Instagram and followed me. I did accept the follow request, and I'll probably shoot him a DM and thank him for the cameo. And
him and I have been DMing though.
Have you?
Yeah.
Have you? Nice.
Well, because when I sent the cameo request, I told him, "Hey, we've talked about you on the podcast." So he sent me, "Hey, I'd love to listen. You know, send me the episode." So I sent him the episode yesterday, actually.
Oh, nice. Maybe we can get him to come on.
I can't imagine that at some point in time we don't like grab a beer with the dude because he's got to live local.
He's probably Manhattan Beach guy for sure. I'm gonna shoot him. I'll send him a DM and I'll be like, hey, thanks for the cameo. You know, blah blah blah. If you ever, you know, if you're in near Santa Monica, let's go get a drink or South Bay, and we'll definitely hang out.
You should give him some pointers on his cameo.
So here's what Weston does, which is amazing. He's a model, and he's been in the modeling industry, and he does, you know, a lot of grooming tips and skincare and just workout tips and all these things. And what I would like to do is I'd like to start my own cameo consulting business.
Because there might be a market for that for sure.
Because I take my cameos very seriously, as you guys know. And if anybody checks me out on Cameo, I just finished my busy season. Like an accountant during tax time, I just finished my busy season, which is fantasy draft. And now that's over. We're into like, I'll get a steady flow, but August and September, crushing it, early September. And, but I put a lot into my cameos. You're going to get your $25 worth.
I feel like you should probably nominate me for cameo because I was recognized in New Orleans that one time as Joe with the Tesla.
Oh yeah, you
I'll
are.
Charge $5.
And you could just do cameos about the Tesla.
I will be your first
consultant client.
I can work with you on how to do cameos.
Absolutely.
But cameos are a lot of fun. I love doing them. So hit me up. You will, like I said, it goes to charity. Schoollunchfairy.com, giving kids that can't afford school lunches access to obviously school lunches. And hit me up. You won't regret it. Trust me. Speaking of flexes, Joe, what's happening with the Peloton? Joe got a Peloton. Do you get a new one or a used one? Secondhand?
I bought it used.
Okay.
Because there was like a 6 week
wait. But it was like one of those,
the same as the brand new one.
It was pretty much brand new. Yeah. It was like the car you get. It was like the car they use on the lot for.
No, it was a friend of mine. He ordered a Peloton, and then it was like a 6 week wait. So he went and found one on Craigslist. So he bought it secondhand, and then when his came in 6 weeks later, he's like, "You want to buy mine for me?"
So you don't have a guy to get a Peloton? Because my wife's wondering.
I actually do have a guy, but you can't get him rushed. I actually got in touch with the CEO of Peloton. and was like, look, I need this now. And he's like, there's nothing. The fulfillment's insane.
Well, Peloton, think about the workouts. Like I don't know how a lot of people just aren't going to go back to gyms. Like they're doing all the home workouts. I know I've been working out from home and, but yeah, the Peloton's a big deal.
I
mean,
it's a good workout. Yeah. So I don't know what this flex is all about.
But the flex is Joe, he set his PR, which for those of you that don't know, the PR is your personal record. So what was your personal record, Joe?
The number? I don't even remember. Oh, it's like, it's measured in like output or.
I just thought it was funny that you texted about it. And then so I was just like, I wanted to engage with you about it. I'm like, oh, so what's your national ranking on?
He's always talking about his national ranking and his percentage.
I'm in the top 10%.
He's in the top 10% of.
Which I don't think you are. If there's 20,000, you're 2,400. Is that 10% or you're still just outside of it?
It's close.
You're no Lance, man. That's for sure. You got some work to do here.
I'm 2,000 out of 20,000 people. That's. It's okay. Top 10% sounds a lot better than 2,000. I'm ranked 2,000.
So, yeah, 100%. The 10th percentile. I never knew whenever they would say, like when I go and they say, oh, your height is in the 13th percentile. Is it the lower the number, the taller you are?
Yeah.
So if you're in the third percentile, you're only 3%. There's only 3% that are taller than you.
Correct.
That's what it means.
Yeah. That's how it works. Cause I thought it wouldn't like, I'm measuring my kids now. I see like my son's like 21 pounds at 6 months. He was in the 95th percentile.
Yeah. I think it's opposite when you're, I don't know. Yeah. Now that I think about it, I'm not sure. I know when your babies are like, 99th percentile. Say,
if you're in the 99th percentile, is that mean you're like,
I would guess 1%?
So I think you're the 1% in that the way that the doctors say it when you have a baby.
I know for a fact, I could tell you right now that the 50th percentile, you're right in the middle. I know that.
And how tall is that for a guy? Is it what, 5'9"?
5'8".
What's the average height?
I believe it's 5'8", 165 is like the average man.
165 seems
low. I just did average Google height it. For man. It says 5'6", and females 5'2". 5'6" seems so five, low. 5'6"
seems
so low. Well, it's because you live in Southern California where everyone's a giant.
Well, and all of us are 6'1".
5'6", except Joe.
What are you talking about?
5'6". If you're 6'1", then we're both 6'2".
Fine.
With our hair, we both have these like nice.
Google the average weight. It is 165.
165.
My friend Chris is 165, and he's always saying I'm the complete average dude, and he's right. It's tiny.
165. I would have thought like at least 180.
Yeah, but you're 6'1", and you're 185 or 190. Yeah.
It says how much does the average American man weigh? It says 20 years old, 197 pounds.
What? That's not right. That's
probably not right. Then if. You're saying 165.
Well, maybe okay. I don't think I looked up American. I think I just looked up average.
Well, male. European, no question, is gonna be smaller.
Tiny.
Like weight-wise.
Yeah.
Everything is smaller. Yeah.
I can't even go shopping out there.
No, if you go like the European cut, like it's definitely a slimmer fit.
So American men, it's 5'9". So that must have been global. So that
I think it's 5'9", 165 is like the average dude.
No, it can't be 5'9", 165. It's got to be at least 175.
Travis, can you do your job?
I'm trying. I just am not very good at typing.
Wow. Nothing's changed in a year.
How upset did he get on Sunday?
Well, things weren't working right, so there's reason for me to be upset.
Edge. So here's the thing. Mike Pereira is in the studio with us now on Sunday, and Mike normally travels with our A crew, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman
and Aaron Andrews and
that whole crew. So they're trying to set up
this point-to-point conversation.
They're trying to make this like so they can see Mike. So Troy and Joe, if they're talking about something officiating related, rather than have Mike in their ear, because normally they're in the booth together, they can do hand signals. So they're trying to shoot this camera on Mike and communicate with Mike. And it just wasn't happening. It was not happening on Sunday. And Travis was getting so worked up, like frustrated. And I certainly was not helping because I was
busting chops. You're lucky it was your birthday because all I called you was a jerk at the time.
So Pereira leaves like during halftime and Travis comes up to me and goes, you're making it so much worse.
And did you see how he took it out on me? Get out of the shot, Joe.
Oh, well, yeah. No, you were in the way shot. Back.
Fired you've got to be way back.
Because you didn't realize like I am
you were
not,
in the shot spitting seeds in your cup.
I was not in the shot.
I I don't care what the situation is. I will never pass up an opportunity to bust chops. Like literally, like I'm the guy that like the world could be ending and I'm going to be like, Travis, dude, that shirt, like what are you doing? And this is what was happening. Like it was so like the president of Fox Sports came in to like check on what was happening. And Travis was so worked up trying to make sure it was going to work. And I'm sitting there going, oh, well, you know, not don't mind us over here. We're just, you know, we're chopped liver over here. It was
fantastic. And then he ripped into me. You find the weak link. Get on the shot. So then every time you went on, I would back. I don't know if you noticed this or not, Trav, but I would back.
You were backing like, into the other room.
I was like going to fall down the steps, actually, just to create a funny performance.
It was perfect. It was perfect. All right. Let's do a Brina Blandino.
Wait, I want to talk about the pitch.
Oh, yes. And the Castle Point. Yes. So let's talk about Castle Point.
So we started the contest, me versus the genius kids from New Jersey. What school? What do you remember the school they went to? They're going to?
They're at
some tech school, like smart kids. They have algorithms. They have ways to pick games. And I'm just, you know, an idiot who doesn't even really watch all that much football, except for when I'm with Dean, because he makes me. And we are going to pick different games against one another. So this week I had, and it is against the spread. So I had the Rams plus 2.5. I won that one. I had the Saints.
Thanks to the OPI call.
Well, thank your refs. I appreciate that. I had the Saints and I had Miami plus 6.5. So I lost Miami, won the Saints, won the Rams. They had Buffalo minus 6.5, Philly minus 5.5, Seahawks minus 2.5. So
they won Buffalo and Seattle.
They won. So we're both 2 for 3 for the week.
So we're going to put in, we'll put in, you guys, you'll go up against the analytics guys and we'll see, we'll keep a record. So you're both 2-1 right now against the spread and we'll go from that. Now they've been doing a bunch of really cool things. They just released their fantasy football guide. That's something that they've, in terms of fantasy football, trust me, these guys are looking at everything. I think for next year, for the 2021 season, that's going to be the go-to. For fantasy football, they pick and they compare themselves when they look at the way their rankings. If you go on, check them out on Instagram and on Twitter, Castle Point Analytics, compared to ESPN's experts, they far and away beating ESPN's experts in fantasy football. They also have an index to help, sports gamers with UFC, and they are. What, 12 of 14? 12
of 14 for the last three. They were 11-11 with three big upsets. Like I was pretty impressed with that. They did a great job.
So check them out on Instagram and Twitter. And so we'll keep a running tab, see how Joe works. Because that's the whole idea, right? There's the old, Joe's the old baseball scout that you know, he's the guy that
I just have a feeling.
I have a feeling about this kid. I don't care what his OPS is and I don't care what, you know, the war and everything else. I got a feeling about this kid. Okay. And these Castle Point Analytics, those are the Ivy League tech guys that come in and got these crazy algorithms and all this fancy tech. And we're gonna see the old grizzled scout versus the new school analytics and see who comes out on top.
How about their season total they predicted for the Bucs?
They predicted 6 wins for the
Bucs. And after seeing them yesterday, man, they might be onto something.
Well, we'll see. I like my shots. So far, I'm right there with the smart kids.
Vegas has the Bucs at 9.5 wins. And after watching that yesterday, I don't know that they have that.
The Castle Point guy, pound the under, man.
Yeah. Brandon Blandino, let's do it.
All right, let's go, Brandon Blandino. There are many ways to skin a cat. We all know this already.
Okay, so, right, so that's a saying, right? You're not supposed to use that anymore. I think PETA has put a stop to that. But that has always been a saying. There are many ways to skin a cat. How did that start? Like, was a guy skinning a cat, and then another guy came by and was like, hey, you know, there's another way to do that. Like, what? Like, who came up with that?
But are there really more than one way? How else would you do it?
That's my thing. Like, apparently there is, but this is the thing.
I've never skinned a cat or anything, so I don't know.
That doesn't become a saying if it's not widespread. Like, that's not like one dude in Arkansas skinning a cat and somebody saying, you know, there's another way. That this is, there was a lot of cats being skinned at some point. And I feel like a lot of these sayings, like killing two birds with one stone. Like, between skinning cats and throwing rocks at two birds, like, how are you?
PETA's pissed.
Like, how, like, who, what kind of animal cruelty is happening when these sayings were made? Like, I just don't understand. I'm fascinated by how sayings come into, like, normal lexicon.
I mean, I think the killing two birds with one stone at least makes sense. But when I really think about it, I don't know if there's more than one way to skin a cat. Not that I've ever skinned a cat.
Like, it means there's more than one way to do something.
I understand that, but when you're...
why are we using skinning cats as the example?
Yeah, why wouldn't we use, like, deer or things that actual people hunt and kill?
Why would we talk about cruelty to animals? Why wouldn't we just say
there's more than one way of changing the oil on your Santa Fe? Yeah,
there's more than, you know,
But there's not the drain the oil, you put the oil in.
No, you pump the oil out. You know,
there's more than one way to change a tire. Like, can we come up with a different way to say there's more than one way to do things?
Is this the pussification of America? We can't talk about anything.
Like, I just don't think skinning a cat is really appropriate.
It's just a saying, Dean.
What if it was skinning a dog? People would be going crazy. Oh, like, you God, can't talk about dogs.
Do people that, you know, that's interesting because there is an animal hierarchy. And there's no question.
I feel like we're getting a second brand of Blandino.
There's right an now animal hierarchy without question. And dogs are completely at the top of it.
Yeah.
Without question.
Dogs are number one.
Dogs are far and away number one. Without question, you cannot do anything to a dog. People will lose their shit. Cats are not on the same level as dogs. They're just not. They're just not. Forget about pigs, who are supposed to be smarter. Octopus. Octopus are like the smartest animal. Dolphins. Octopus is like, have you ever seen an octopus? Yep. Have you ever seen an octopus in the wild? The shit that thing can do.
Changes colors and the way they can like change their like size and shape.
And what are we doing? And what we're doing is every menu, every restaurant, it's octopus and nobody gives a shit. Throw a Pekingese on a menu and people will lose it. So
I'll have the dachshund.
Right? Exactly. Anyway,
you know, not that you went on a tangent or anything.
On that note, this has been Good Calls with Dean Blandino. Please follow me on Twitter at Dean Blandino and Instagram at Dean.Blandino. Follow the show on Instagram and Twitter at Rules Podcast, and be sure to rate our podcast on the iHeartRadio app and on Apple Podcasts.
Good Calls with Dean Blandino is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection, and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.